So we kind of teased this, I think it was a week or two ago, where we just, you know, we enjoy comic books. So I am joined with the homie Mikey B.
Hey there.
And we have a special guest in the studio. If man, I got to get a soundboard here, bro. And like just have like and like we got a friend of the podcast.
What's up?
My homie David in the Heezy, bro.
What's up? What's up, man?
It's good to be here. This is great to be here. This is a long time coming, and I'm excited to hear this conversation go on, just because like I am entry level, I feel personally, and you and Mikey B always recommend stories for me to read, and I'm like, I'm not gonna get to it. Like, whatever.
Hey, man, I'm also pretty. You know what, dude? I'm not entry level, dude. I've been this pretty deep ever since I could remember, like started reading, you know, comics. But like now, I think when it comes to this whole like superhero stuff, Marvel and DC, I haven't been too caught up, dude. I'm really into independent stuff. Like I tell you, like, you know, I love like Image is great. It's just even other companies, man. Like TKO is great. I read a lot of Dark Horse stuff, you know. But yeah, but I DC, man, that's my first love. That's my first love. And I'm pretty current, you know. I'm pretty like caught up with what's going on with, you know, the new Infinite Frontier and stuff. And yeah,
right on, my guy. So before we can I more like deep take a deeper dive into that, Mikey B's got a quiz question.
I certainly do.
I don't know if this is going to be like, is this comic book related?
It is question? Not.
Oh, okay, so it's like, who built the first, you know, toilet in the United States?
Oh, man.
Now, this is a pretty cool one.
All right.
Shoot.
Let's see. Alaska is the only state that can be typed on one row. Oh, shit. I messed that up real bad.
Is it Alaska?
I did. I said I messed it. Oh, man. I messed it up. That. All right. Next one. That was next a mess up. That was a bad one. That was my bad. Yes, but the answer is Alaska. You could type Alaska on the second row of keys, the cap lock key to the recurrent key. You could spell Alaska using that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
On what keyboard? Your iPhone keyboard or like an actual?
I think any keyboard.
I think really? I think a keyboard. I'm gonna say this a computer keyboard.
Okay.
Yeah, because the home row is A S D F G H.
And then there's
A.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ah.
So there you go. That was a great question that I, you know.
Four
you
letters, though. A-L-S-K. That's all it is, though, in reality.
That's that home row, fam.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay. On to a better question that I will try not to ruin. Okay. This is good. Are you guys familiar with Kool-Aid?
Yeah. A bit, yeah.
A little bit. Cool. Before it was called Kool-Aid, it was called something else. Do you have any guesses what Kool-Aid was originally marketed as? Before it was called Kool-Aid, it was called something. It had an alternative name.
I have no idea, man.
It's called Drank.
Drank.
I don't know, man.
Before it was called Kool-Aid, it was originally marketed as something. It had a different name when it was originally came out as a product back in the day.
I don't know.
I feel like it's just going to be something so simple like powder, flavor powder, like packet juice.
I'm interested to hear what
not
it is.
Bad. Not bad. You're getting closer, Josh.
Packet juice? Oh,
no,
man.
No, it wasn't. We're getting like it was very simple. It was called
so juice
fruit.
Is in there.
It was fruit was in there, correct. It was called Fruit Smack.
Oh, okay, Fruit Smack.
That sounds, I could dig that.
It's a complete 180.
Kool-Aid, Fruit Smack.
Yeah.
I think Fruit Smack is a little aggressive.
It is.
I like it. Like, you get that new Fruit Smack.
I was more into like Capri Sun, man.
Fruit those smack. Pouches, man. Those are tricky to puncture the hole into.
Which
man.
Is funny because Kool-Aid also had their own version of that with, I think they had like Fruit Jammers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, with the bootleg.
And sometimes I wouldn't even. I would just puncture it and just, you know, squeeze the actual pouch into my mouth.
Or high C with those Ecto Cooler. Shout out to Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
True.
Yes.
Dude, the best thing I could think of to do with those is just throw them in the freezer and then just like scrape like shaved ice.
Okay.
Ah,
and just done.
Nice.
All the juice, dude. Fire, bro.
Like Cuban ice? Is that what they call it, right?
Maybe.
It's like a little cone of ice, but they flavor it with some like fruit juice and stuff.
I think it's a snow cone. What'd you get Cuban ice for?
I don't even know, man. Probably. I think that's what they call it somewhere.
I thought you were trying to make a joke. Cause like
Google that real quick. Cuban ice.
Because they have Italian ice. You know what I mean? So
oh, like, that's what he's... Cuban ice. Yeah.
That's hilarious, funny, dude. Man. That's good.
Hey, bro, that could be a thing, though. Like, imagine a snow cone, but like flavored like Cuban coffee. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that actually sounds pretty good.
Rough,
I could dig
dark
that,
Cuban coffee, bro, that just wakes you the fuck up.
The coffee would be sweet. Alrighty, gentlemen. Comic books. So we're going to try to keep this light because I feel like we could, you know, really get off on a tangent and really, you know, smash hours of conversation, which is fine, but I have to edit this, so we're gonna try to keep it close.
We're gonna be random about everything too, man. Watch, we're gonna make it so hard for you.
Yeah, right. And then I have to end up clipping everything and just like finding wild stuff. So we're here to talk comic books, and I guess we can just briefly just talk about like where like we kind of started with like our comic book journey. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
I'll start because I don't think mine is that crazy. Because if I remember correctly, like I don't know if it was like Pizza Hut or I think it was Pizza Hut where they had like X-Men. This is way back in the day, by the way. So they had like kids meals, right? So I believe you could get like a small, I think it's like a personal pizza, but for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like smaller than a personal. But I think you would get a comic with it because they had an X-Men collab.
Oh, wow.
And that's the only reason why I wanted to go because I love the X-Men like animated series.
Dude.
So then I would go there with my aunt because like my mom would like just drop me off at my aunt's house and just like, all right, hang out here. But my aunt was just like, let's go get a pizza. And like I worked my aunt to like, you know, like, come on, let's just go get a pizza or whatever. So I'd go get the kids meal. And I think you would get a comic with it.
Dude.
But it was like, you know, like the comic you get on free comic day where it's like, for sure. Right. It's pretty much just filled
with
advertisements.
But what a way to like get people to like kids start reading comics, dude. And like, man, come on.
Yeah.
What's up with this, you know, these companies' marketing teams? Where are they at, dude?
Yeah. Or also, Pizza Hut, come back. Do come better. On, I love dude. Pizza Hut.
Nah, you know what? Nah, dude. The only thing that I love about Pizza Hut was like the actual stuffed cheese crust, whatever.
That was dope.
That was awesome.
I like that, dude. What I loved about Pizza Hut was that they used to have Primal Rage, the video game, and the one right here. Yeah, nice. I love that. I would always just
they had like four machines there, bro. You'd be waiting just playing.
It would have just like a smell of like bootleg garlic when you walked in. Mm-hmm. And it like never smelled like anything else, but it smelled so good. And then you're just like,
I would go to the Metal Slug one, dude. Metal Slug was my shit.
Which we could talk about that like later, but I cannot beat that game.
Dude, it's one of my favorite little games. I mean, I only know them from like, you know, arcade and stuff, but I even like downloaded like what is it on my phone?
You got it on the phone too?
Or something? I used to.
Oh, you got an emulator.
That's what it is. I used to.
but yeah, so kind of just jumping back into this
the Pizza Hut.
I believe so, cuz I used to watch all the stuff on TV. So like the Fantastic Four animated show, the you know, Boomerang? The X-Men. Or no, like on the original channels they came out.
Oh yeah. I totally just aged you if it was like, bro. Shit was in the '70s, dude. My mom used to watch that stuff, dude.
It's like, did you have to hold the antenna up when you watch TV, bro?
In Mexico, I remember watching like Boomerang Channel, they'd play like old Fantastic and Spider-Man and like his friends. I forget like him and like I don't know who else, man, but yeah.
I don't know if like the name translates over. We're just gonna keep like going off the rails,
dude.
But like,
yeah.
Have you heard? Maybe I don't know if you've heard about this, but like they used to have like the Zodiac Warriors. It was an old show back in the day.
Nah,
it was kind of revolved around the Zodiac, but they would have like these wild ass like suits of armor, dude, and like they would call it the Zodiac. But that was my first intro to anime.
Yeah,
I watched that in Mexico because that shit was tight.
That shit was always anime, dude.
Yeah, man. So it's like
Zodiac Warriors.
Yeah. It translates different in Spanish. It's like Caballeros del Zodiaco or whatever. So it's like the Zodiac Warriors. But like, I think they actually remade it for Netflix recently.
Whoa.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing.
Okay.
It's a little different, I believe, but there's something there. So
Pizza Hut, man.
Pizza X-Men. Hut.
So you remember
X-Men.
It was X-Men.
It was X-Men for sure because the pizza, the cover, the box had X-Men on it.
Dude, that's so cool, man.
So if I remember, that was kind of like my first introduction into it. But then I would also just kind of like, you know, find bootleg websites that kind of have stories to read here and there. So it's like, but then I kind of like trailed off more into TV.
Okay.
To like all the shows, and I would religiously watch those. That's would be my main source of information. And then as I got older, man, like it wasn't like super cool to read comics, man. Like it was like, you know, I don't know how wild we're going to get to, you know, name calling and stuff, but there were like names thrown out to where like you're just like, you know.
Of course, yeah.
It was just, it was nuts. But so then like I wouldn't like read them like specifically, but I would find every so often, like I would read some. And then, you know, as I got older, the spark for comic books was kind of like more lit, because I was like, it doesn't matter if I read it or not. So then just kind of like start reading all this other stuff. So
hell yeah, man.
That's pretty cool, crazy, man.
I love that. Just like Pizza Hut, dude. Like
out of all things, so you know what I mean?
More than anything, I'm impressed with the marketing, dude. Like, that's cool, bro. Like, DC tried doing it with Walmart, like, a year ago or 2 years ago and stuff like that, but it just didn't really work too well. Or maybe it did. I don't remember. But, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's so a really cool way to get
introduced to comics.
Man, that's why I decided to go first, because I don't have any cool stories. Like,
dude, you know, come like, on. I think that's freaking
like,
awesome.
Like, oh, my dad will give me, like, a dollar, and, like, I'd have to, like, save this dollar and, like, not eat lunch and fucking go buy Spider-Man.
No, my
two.
Story ain't that cool either.
I don't think our origin stories of reading comic books is gonna, you know,
nah, dude,
is like any way a flex or a way to stunt on
more
this podcast.
More accidental than anything, to be quite honest with you.
Also, too, like, were they considered comics, like the heavy metal ones too?
Heavy metal.
Yeah, they were like more of like, I think they were like your little, graphic or novels.
Like, heavy metal sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think there was like, I think it was bootleg porn.
Oh, yeah. Hey man, if it had panels in there, bro, for sure it's a comic.
Yeah, I think it was, man. Like there were stories. Yeah. I remember, bro, this, we might have to cut this part out.
But like, I our first just, like, audio edit.
I remember the covers, edit. And I remember even the logo of like super bold heavy metal.
They were like scary. They were like traditional, like, you know, like the tattoos, but they were like very like detailed, like sci-fi,
dude. That's cool, things, man. They're probably super collectible nowadays, probably.
Yeah, but also too, man. They would show titties in it.
Oh, come on, that's awesome.
So, so yeah, man. I remember going to Barnes and Noble. So, and Barnes and Noble had like sports, and then like above it was like men's humor or whatever, some shit. Like, and then I saw it. And there's a cover of like a chick with like this like super like huge fucking sword, and I was like, oh, this looks like it's drawn, it's a comic or whatever. And then I would see it, and like it had panels in it too, and like the way it would tell stories in it too, it just so happened to be like there was a lot of naked people in it.
Yeah,
and I was like, what the fuck?
But like, yeah, see, I know this, man. Yeah, I've seen this. Wow, dude, this stuff looks great, man.
Yeah, they're just like. Besides, like, the graphic stuff, dude, like, it was very, like, detailed sci-fi stuff. You know what I mean? To where, like,
adult or, like, stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so it was more like, it's not like, oh, hey, he slipped on a fucking banana peel. You know what I mean? Or he didn't, like, pow. You know what I'm saying? Like, this one will fuck you up.
Pretty violent.
I'm gonna stab you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's just like.
How old were you when you remember?
Bro, I don't even know, man. Like, I remember because, like, we would go to the mall. No, it was Walmart, dog.
Dude, Walmart.
Walmart. Yeah. Oh, my God. You just, like, triggered, like, a whole bunch of, like, memories of my life, dude. Like, yeah. So my mom would be like, let's go to the store real quick. I'd be like, all right, fine, whatever. Like, I'm going to go to the toy section. So back in the day, Jewel. Jewel put their toys right with the comics and books and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, all the magazines and all that shit. So I'd go look at the, you know, the Star Wars toys. And then you could turn around and you find, like, a Game Informer. So you just I just go hang out there. And then I saw one of these there, too. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And it was, like, wrapped in plastic.
Oh, man.
Dude, and my badass self, man, like, at first I was like, oh, whatever. But then I was like, what is it? I ripped it open, bro.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Just because, you know, I was interested. I was like, what is this? So then I started looking at it.
I did that with my first Green Lantern book, dude. Wrapped and everything. I was like, fuck this. Like I want to see it first.
Just like,
fuck it.
I just have to like look around and make sure like no one's there, dude, and just like rip this shit open. But yeah, so I ripped the shit open and I saw this and I was like, this is fucking wild. Because I think one of them was like somebody just like ripped in half, dude. And I was like, first of all, awesome.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, no wonder it was in fucking plastic this whole time. But I guess that's another way into like comics, man. Mm. Like I wasn't there reading the stuff just because like I liked the way it looked.
Yeah, the art.
The art was just so detailed. As you can see, is like some of the stuff that you see here, man.
Dude, and it seems like they're still going. Like, that's really awesome. I have to check their stuff out.
I mean, I don't know how good the stories are, but
hey, man. What, $14 for an issue? For sure. Steve Orlando, though, man. Come on. I'm trying to see these names real quick. I mean, I just saw Steve Orlando, the first name. I'm for sure. I think he's great.
Did you read his Martian Manhunter series?
I wanted to.
It's good.
Yeah, no. Super is it solid. Is it good?
It's solid, yeah, very solid.
For sure. I remember he actually, yeah, when they announced that he was going to do it, I was like, okay. And he was fairly new, too, so no mm-hmm. one really knew who he was, you know?
Because prior to doing that, the only thing I remember him doing was I think he jumped on Blue Beetle?
It was Blue Beetle, I think.
Or Booster Gold, I wonder that was like kind of like C, like DC guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, what about you, Mikey?
Yeah, you're
this guy's he's gonna be the host, man.
David's yeah, dude,
gonna
try to, that's dude, fine. You're doing, yeah, that's a good job. You're of doing better. Us,
like together, as we're me and Mikey, we just be like, oh yeah, well, what about this? We just keep going.
We just go off on. Oh, mine is high school. Like a group of like high school friends got me into reading comic books. It was that and like
was it first.
It wasn't initially a comic book. It was our liking of Kevin Smith movies.
Okay.
Awesome. We're a huge Kevin Smith fan, so it was like Mallrats and Clerks and Chasing Amy, and then like obviously Chasing Amy has like a deep comic book story, and then Mallrats has a Stan Lee cameo, and he talks about Superman and all that other stuff. So it was kind of like, oh, cool, comic books could be cool because Kevin Smith thinks comic books are cool. So I said go to a comic book store and give it a whirl. And
that's
I was
cool, man, through Kevin Smith though. Like, come on, you couldn't do better. You know, I think he's amazing.
True, because also Kevin Smith at the time he was he did a Green Arrow run,
yeah.
So, and then he did Daredevil. So pretty much anything Kevin Smith wrote, I was reading it. But the first comic book that I really got into was the original Ultimate Spider-Man, which is I think Brian Bendis, one of it like his like yeah, his man. First like earliest attempts into like getting into the comic book game. So yeah, but reading Ultimate Spider-Man, so like I'm in high school, Peter Parker's in high school, he's dealing with stuff, I'm dealing with stuff. It was like the perfect comic book for me to get like into comic books. It's like, okay, I could relate to this.
Dude, Ultimate Spider-Man was awesome. Like even like most of the Ultimate books, I was into like the like Ultimate X-Men and stuff. And I thought it was great.
So it was that, and then yeah, it was that, and then when that happened, I think like Wizard Worlds were starting to happen out in Rosemont.
Okay.
Oh, true.
So that was like, it was just like, it was like the combination of like Kevin Smith movies, like an introduction into comic books. And then like my friends started to have like finally got their license. So it was like, so going to Rosemont and Wizard World was like the first like little taste of adulthood. It's like, oh, I don't have to like, my mom doesn't have to take me or my dad doesn't have to take me. Like me and the boys or the crew could get together, like go see comic books, like look at comic books, get like comic book sign in, whatever, and be like, okay, this is like our time. Like we're like, it's like our first little taste of independence. We're gonna eat at McDonald's, we're gonna get that high C orange, we're gonna get that 12-20
decisions, mama.
We're gonna make Dang. Yeah, we're gonna get that 20-piece McNuggets, we're gonna live the life. So that was my first introduction into comic books. How about yourself, David?
Man, yeah, so it was pretty, well, I was at a cousin's house, and, we were really close growing up, and, yeah, so I was at his place, we were playing, I think, we were about to play GoldenEye on 64, and we would play that all the time, and, he had these, like, Calvin and Hobbes, like, books laying around, and I just looked at them, and I'm like, I started opening them up, and I'm like, man, what is this? Like, this is, I was young, I was maybe, I don't even know how young I was, dude. Before 10, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, that those were the first books I would read, man, Calvin and Hobbes. And I just, you fell in love with the characters, the art. Yeah, but after that, I started like, every single day, my mom would take us to the library, to Fremont Public Library, that's still here in Mundelein, shout out. That place was like my haven, man, my sanctuary. Like I would be there every single day and I just rent comic books. I just go to the comic book aisle, and Green Lantern was what I first started reading. But at the time too, like I was really into like the animated series, Batman animated series, all the stuff that was going on Fox and all these, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. So I started reading with, you know, Calvin and Hobbes, and then just immediately was obsessed, you know, with that avenue of like telling stories, not just a book, but like it being visual. And I'm kind of OCD like that. Like sometimes I have a hard time like focusing on novels, even though I do read just regular old books, but comic books is just something else. It's just another level of like expression, you know, to tell the story just in the best way possible. But yeah, Calvin and Hobbes, man.
Which is kind of it's kind of nice that you brought that up, dude, because like for some reason I didn't think about that. And some of like the other exposure of comic books too was in the newspaper, man. Yes. Like fucking Garfield,
dude. Yeah,
exactly. Right when you said Calvin and Hobbes, I'm like, wow, did I just forget to tell them that I would see Garfield in the newspaper
too? Yeah.
But also what's also kind of crazy too, man, is like it also reminded me of my dad was into comic books too. But as you see on the screen, he had Mafalda, which is I think it's a Spanish comic book.
I know exactly.
He would have trades at the house, man. There's still one there. I know exactly where it is.
That's cool.
And just the fact that, you know, I would see that around the house and like I would look at it. And obviously, like when I was younger, like I didn't read it, like I mentioned before. But like just seeing the panels and like there's different ways to tell stories, too. And also with like Peanuts and stuff like that, like. Other little avenues of stories. And it's like, okay, like Snoopy's getting into some wild shit in this episode. And like, you know, the doghouse.
Newspapers, man. I used to help my dad out every Saturday morning at 4 a.m. on like, you know, just paper routes, you know, big old bulk. And we would have papers in the car all the time. And I would go to the comic section. And yeah, man. Also, growing up in a church, man, that's kind of cultish, Christian church, we would have these little, I don't know if you guys remember, but they're like rectangle little book pamphlet type things that the church would evangelize and give out.
The one where I tell you that like the devil's real and like.
Yeah, dude, they had all these crazy subjects, man, and the illustrations were awesome.
Yeah.
They were awesome, dude. And they would freak me the hell out, too, because they would always end each one. They had hundreds of thousands of different ones, man, but. They would always end them with like someone being thrown into the lake of fire and dying and like having their life, you know, being like, you know, showed in front of their eyes.
And then they ask you for a donation to the church.
Yeah, dude. Yep. Can't forget that, dude. Come on, man. Living that no sales tax life or right, property dude. Tax life either, bro. Like,
yeah. Man. So we all got some pretty good, you know, like origin stories there, too.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty like, interesting.
So to kind of just kind of get this intro episode over, do you guys want to just like talk like maybe some of your favorite stories?
Yeah.
Who wants to start?
You start.
I start.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So my start is one of my favorite stories. It's gonna sound so cliche, man, and like I just because like I know that I love, you know, Marvel and like all this stuff, but one of my favorite stories is that Infinity War story, only because the first one. Yeah, the one where like Thanos gets the stones, whatever. But the movies don't do it like the comic does itself. The comic itself is like Thanos is like hunting for love, man. Like he's trying to impress Lady Death, and he's like, whatever I do, and it's just like this hunt for her like approval of something, of anything. Yeah, because
he really like persona, like, you know,
it gives him a human characteristic because it's like I'm the most powerful being in the entire world. Why don't you love me? And Lady Death just brushes it off. And he's like, I got to prove myself to you. And that's how he goes on like this wild fucking rant and like destroys the universe pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
I see. I've never read it, man. Yeah. I've never read it. I did not know that.
So there's parts in the movies that like,
yeah, like
translate. But
what I remember in the movies is him sitting down at the end of all things and just, you know, every armor off, just chillaxing.
Which he does that too in the comics, you know, too. Yeah.
Chilling.
Yeah, just like relaxing.
But it's like a very romantic like ending. Scene because he's looking at this like field of like, I don't know what it was, man, just really calm. So that's interesting to hear that.
Yeah, and it's just like
what it was really about.
He even like his own daughter, like the whole like sacrificing of a daughter is kind of in it too, where he like burns a nebula to death for her approval. It's like It's like, I burned my own daughter, like, love me. And she still says, no, man. And like, it's all of death, these though, things, man. And then it goes into like a higher level where it's like, you know, they're the creators of the universe as I get involved, and Thanos is just like still trying to be like the greatest power in the universe.
Just a love story.
Obviously,
man.
Overdoes it.
Yeah.
And then what's cool in that is because they, the Avengers also get involved to try to stop him or whatever. But like, he kills a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like he, like off the jump, like he just like kills Wolverine, fucking kills Cyclops, and just like everybody dies pretty much.
Wow.
And what's cool too is like what that story did too is like he burned Nebula like in the first book.
Mm.
And then you
get off the jump, huh?
Right off the jump, dude. And then you get towards the end, she's still alive. So like she's barely living. And then she ends up putting the gauntlet on anyway. So she resumes power of the universe and becomes the greatest, strongest being for the time.
Huh.
Yeah, for like two stories, she's wearing the gauntlet.
Who takes it off of her?
She kills herself.
Oh, wow.
It's just too much power.
Just drunk with power.
Yeah, and Thanos is like, you don't know how to handle this much power. Like, you're not ready, blah, blah, blah. And it ends up, like, getting to her head.
Wow.
Yeah.
When does Warlock come in?
He's the one that brings the Avengers to, like, space, pretty much, to fight Thanos.
Mm.
So, you remember in the movie, the Hulk breaks through the Sanctum, Sanctorium, or wherever Doctor Strange is?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's actually the Silver Surfer in the comic. And he's like, Thanos is coming. And like, you know, the Silver Surfer sees it. There's a lot of stuff that the comic, man, if they could make the movie like that, awesome. But like, that's exactly what it was. The Silver Surfer comes in, and then Adam Warlock is like roaming around the world, and they bring him back.
Okay.
And then, you know, but what Adam Warlock does,
it's a dense storyline, dude.
It's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also too, it's just like, what I love about comics, man, is like seeing your superheroes with human qualities. Like, yeah, Thanos is like the baddest motherfucker on the planet. He's got the gauntlet already because you're not hunting the stones in this at all.
Mm.
It's already there.
Yeah, it's been done.
So it's like, okay, but what does he really want? Instead of ruling the universe, he's like, he just wants this girl to like me. You know what I mean?
Man, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah. And like I said, like, I don't want it to be like super cliche and like, yeah, I haven't read a lot of stories too, but like that one just feels a lot like very human to me.
Mm.
And I really liked it a lot.
Mm.
So,
dude, that's cool, man. It's a good one to start for sure. Yeah. Standard are set. Come on, Mikey, what you got, boy? What's your favorite story right now?
He's got,
dude, I'm hosting over here, bro.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. My bad, bro. My bad.
No problem. You're killing it on the hosting.
I'm just excited to be here, man. You know,
like, dude, by all means, man.
It's a blast, dude.
This is, hey, if you're going to help us stay in order, that's good.
Yeah, that's definitely a good thing. The first thing I thought of was Ex Machina.
Mm.
Which is the Brian K. Vaughan, Tony Harris comic book that came out way back in the day. Mm-hmm. Way back. Like, I think it ran from 2000, like in like 2004, maybe 2010, like in the early.
Vertigo, right? Or was it?
It was Wildstorm.
Wildstorm?
Yeah.
Okay.
DC Comics Wildstorm. Yeah. It is about Mitch 100. He is the first and only superhero in the world. This takes place after the attacks on 9/11. He becomes the mayor of New York. And so it combines kind of superhero, being the only superhero in the world, and kind of the fear of the government of, hey, he's the only guy who has this extraordinary power, so how do we keep this dude in check?
Yeah
But then also deals with us the politics of the time. So post 9/11, like rebuilding the towers, and immigration and terrorism and all of the political avenues that was happening now and on, even now to this day. So it's a convoy that combines the idea of like, what would we do if superheroes are real, and like the ramifications of that, like in a real world setting.
Yeah.
But also it's mixed with like just the politics of like the United States and the military, and if you're a Democrat or Republican, like, what does that mean? So it's a comic book that tries to deal with like real world issues with the wrapping, with like a nice wrapping of, hey, he's a superhero.
Mm. Yeah, man. We're just looking at the cover here. Those, man, I remember the covers because my brother has, I think, the full collection of it, man. And I've always wanted to just start reading it. You know, at first I was like, Ex Machina, no, it's not like the movie, right? You know? It's like, because I would see the cover, it's like, this looks wild. But yeah, Brian K. Vaughan, man.
One of the best.
Yeah, he really is one of the best, man.
And this is like the first comic book I read. I felt like this was like my graduation from like, oh, well, like I mentioned, I was reading Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm reading Batman. Yeah. I'm reading The Flash. I'm reading like DC Marvel Hill stuff. It's all good. And this is the first time I'm like, ooh, I am reading a quote unquote graphic novel. I'm reading some adult level stuff now. So it was like my first growing up, like, hey, you know, comic books can grow up and evolve from just like spandex and tights. It can exactly. be more. It can be more than that.
Yeah, man. And you can't, like I said, Kayvon, man. I was just showing Josh because we pulled up his info, Saga, of course. Like, trying to convince him to pick it up. Like, it's probably my, it's just such an amazing series.
Nobody's got a shield in it, bro. I can't read it.
Dude, just imagine. It's just like, man, I'm just waiting on their, what is it called? Their hiatus to be over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they do this a lot, and I'm at a point now where I'm waiting for volume, I think, 10 or 9. I think it's 10. But yeah, Brian K. Vaughan, Ex Machina.
And then you mentioned you did a paper route, so another Brian K. Vaughan title dealing with doing a paper route is Paper Girls, is another comic book that he runs.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, yeah, your paper route, yeah, that started out as, like, four girls doing a paper route in, their mid-early 80s, and then it gets... real wild after that. It gets extremely like sci-fi, wacky, outer space, timeline, multiple dimensions. So yeah, that's another good Brian K. Vaughan joint that you can read.
He's awesome. Paper Girls is also, I haven't read it yet, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah. It's another winner.
Yeah. My favorite, man, right now would be, well, this is it. It's because I stopped reading like just entirely. Like, for many years after high school, maybe even during high school, just because, like you said, like, I would be made fun of, just people name calling and all this crazy stuff. And
Do you hear that?
What?
Something in the background is fine.
That's weird, man.
Yeah, no, it's good. But
it sounds like this is like the beginning of Cloverfield, dude. Like,
yo. Yeah, that's what it sounded like for a minute. Like,
yeah, the...
Are you picking up like a car alarm?
Oh, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Mm. Oh, because we're over here like tripping,
yeah, like,
dude.
Nah, dude. Car alarm is going off behind, like, being, you know, outside of my apartment. So yeah, that's what's hearing.
Well, David, we could start your little part over again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah, man, so like for many years, I stopped reading just because I was, long story, but just stopped reading. And then, I think my youngest brother was at our old house that we grew up in. And at the time he found Batman and Robin by Grant Morrison.
I think
the first two volumes that I had and I just had for a while. And he found something else and he was like, man, you remember these books? I'm like, dude, yeah. And he started like getting into comics like crazy. Like, you see his room now, the man has like, he jokes around with everyone and like, hey man, I'm going to check out, you know, the books. He's like, do you have your library card? You know, because he's got like so many books, man. Just like Josh has, like, just he's gonna fill this room with sneakers. Like, yes, too many books. Every time I go to him, and he's so generous, he'll just give me a pile of books and be like, "Hey, read this. It's homework." You know. So he just started reading, man. He picked it up, and he started getting into all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, and then it sparked my love again for comics. You know, and I went into Image, bro, head first. The first book I went into was Killer Be Killed. By Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
Nice choice. Great choice.
Oh, my God, man. That book just... It was... At the time, it was really... It's a dark book. It's a really dark book, man. But it's just... Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, that duo. And they're still working to this day, man. They just are unstoppable. An unstoppable force. They know how to tell a good story. But, yeah, that's probably my favorite book, just because that was the first book that I picked up after this years of not reading, dude, you
after
know
your
just
hiatus.
Depriving myself of not reading. And yeah, I went straight into Image. After that, it was Witches by Scott Snyder and Jock, but Killer Be Killed, man, that was the first, you know, the first series that I got into, and man, I've read it maybe three times over, and it's just, yeah. Even the way it ends, dude, it's just great because it's, I think it's, I forget how many issues it is in total.
I just had it up.
Yeah, but it's so concise, man. It's complete, put together, just the story is consistent, man, and just, yeah, it's just a great book.
Is it really only 20?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but they are, yeah.
If you've dived into other Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips work, yeah, like Criminal, yes, or Fade Out, Femme Fatale, or Pulp.
Man.
So you're on all of it. Awesome.
Yeah, even Perfect. Sleeper, dude. Well, I started as the first
Sleeper,
one.
Yeah, Sleeper's an old joint.
That's an old one, yeah. But Criminal's amazing. I got into his new stuff. Like, what is it? It's All My Heroes Are Junkies, I think. What I forget. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
that's one of them.
The other one, I forget, like Pink Cover. But yeah, Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, man, they cannot do me wrong. Like Fade Out was great.
Mm-hmm.
I have Velvet, but I've never read it. Just because I started reading so much Brubaker that I kind of got tired of it. I had to go to like Scotty Young, and I started reading like Fairy Tale Land. I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
Just for like a palate cleanser.
No doubt.
Fatale was amazing.
Yes, like, it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, like, they really did it for me.
Yeah, but I understand that you like Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips are definitely in that like noir, gritty, yeah, detective.
Oh, man.
50s, 60s, you know, the world is not as ideal as you've seen. So, yeah, once you read a lot of that, you're like, yeah, dude, I need something light. I need, like,
when
a
he
nice
starts
look.
Incorporating like supernatural stuff, because mm-hmm. he started doing it with Fatale, but then he did it again with Kill or Be Killed.
Oh, cool.
Like, because through Criminals, straight up just criminals doing crimes. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
every volume was like, there wasn't really an ongoing connection through every volume, but man, they were so good. But then he brought back that supernatural aspect to it again, like with Kill or Be Killed. And I was like, man, yeah, it was so good. So good, man.
Okay. I have to read that one. That's my one little hole in my Ed Brubaker.
You haven't read Kill or Be Killed yet?
That's the only one I haven't. That's the one I missed. That's the only one I missed.
Come on. You have to. It's everything. Just even the panels, man. There's like, even flipping through the pages, like the way they like, they'll split the page like three quarters, and then the last quarter they'll have the actual narrative,
mm-hmm.
and like they have the like, almost like a splash page but with like words. It's they just do such a great job with it, man. Sean Phillips really went out of his way to like, you know, make this book beautiful. I forget who was the color on Kill or Be Killed. Can you? Who's the name? Elizabeth.
Yikes.
But what's her last name?
Broutweiser,
man. Yeah, come on. Yeah, she's amazing colorist. She's an amazing colorist.
It looks cool, man.
Yeah.
I, if you haven't noticed, don't know the image side of this comic book universe. So this is where I step out.
No,
and
dude,
let you guys go wild.
But it's so like Image comic books and like independent comic books are so welcoming because they're so like, most series are so short run.
Yeah.
That like, you don't have to be like, it's not like diving into Superman or Batman or Spider-Man as like, there's so much history. Like most independent comic books don't go beyond 100 issues is like, mm-hmm. is really rare if any comic book in independent world goes beyond.
Writing Spawn, you know?
Yeah, like Spawn and like Invincible went super long, but like most are like
20.
Yeah, like 20 to like, 20 to 48, 50. Like it's like a like 2 to 4 year run most times.
Yeah.
So it's like,
what's the crossover events?
But there's no,
like?
but there's no. That's the other thing. There's rarely. With obviously, there's always some exception to the rule, but there's rarely any crossover.
Mm. Yeah.
So super easy to dive into versus like trying to like overwhelm yourself. Like, if you want to say I want to read Iron Man, that's like super overwhelming. Like, what do you read? Do you go back to the 70s, the 60s? Do you read stuff from the 90s? This is like, you could go in and out pretty easily and like get the drift.
Yeah, that's what I love about Image. It's just a story of Image too, man. Like, 92, they had it. Jim Lee, McFarlane, Liefeld. Who were the other two? Sylvester, I forget the other guy's name. But, yeah, they just had it with Marvel. And they're like, man, we created all these characters for you guys, and you're not even paying us, and you're using them in other stories. Like, we're out of here. We're going to do our own thing. And, man, they blew up.
Yeah, see, they have, like, Spawn.
Yeah, man.
Up top.
They have so many good books, man. Image is honestly amazing. Yeah,
Battle Chasers looks wild.
Yeah, man. They got some wild.
What?
They can do whatever they want, dude. And it's like creator-owned stuff, dude. So these writers and like illustrators are like, they're creating these characters and they're getting paid for what they're creating, man.
Like Battle Pope.
Yeah.
Battle Pug.
That's some older girls. That's some older stuff.
Yeah, Black Magic by Rucka, dude. That's a good one. Yeah. There's so many, man. There's just so many titles. It's crazy. Chew is one that's been going for a while. Like, that's amazing. Yeah.
When you're thinking about... This is the question I was going to tease when you were off mic. When you're thinking about comic books, do you go for characters or you go for authors and, like, the author and, the illustrator?
Author and illustrator is the first thing I go for. Just because... if I really capture them, like their voice, like for example, like Tom King, I remember I got into his Rebirth Batman when he started doing Batman, and I just, the first volume, I Am Gotham, was cool, man. Especially because it was, I forget who was drawing at the time, but it wasn't, I forget who it was, but he did a phenomenal job just penciling. But I just couldn't capture his voice, man, throughout the second volume, like I Am Bane, I Am This, I couldn't do it, man. It was... Like, I did not like Tom King, like, this background narrative while doing stuff and, like, just very poetic, and I just didn't get it. But then I read Miracle Man or Mr. Miracle, like, and first time around, I couldn't do it. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna give it another chance. And I did. And I don't know what it was, man. I finally understood it. Like, oh, I get Tom King now. I get it, man. It works beautifully. So I went back. And I did it again with the Rebirth Batman, dude. It's great. He did such a good job. And I've become a fan of King for, you know, many, many reasons, many books. But yeah, I always go. So what I'll do is, like, I'll get obsessed with that author and I'll just read everything they've done. Like, I did it with Snyder after I read Witches, like realizing him and the Greg Capullo run for.
Yeah, his Batman run is awesome.
Jesus, man.
Yeah. Count of Owls, man.
Jesus. Court of Owls, man.
Court of Owls, introducing James Gordon Jr., that whole storyline.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Him and Capullo killed it, man. And so, like, I just read everything Snyder, dude. Got into Snyder a lot. Now I'm kind of sick of him, to be honest, because, like, there was a time where, like, he was just doing too many books, like, metal, like, death metal, and just all these tie-ins, and just, like, I kind of got tired of it, man. You know? So... Mm. But yeah, I always go for writer and illustrator, penciler, nice. For sure. Yeah. What about you?
Same boat.
Nice.
Same boat. Like, I think what I'm trying to think back on is, like, probably initially when I got into comic books, it was like characters. Mm. So it was like, it was all characters. I didn't understand, like, authorship and illustrator. I didn't like oh, different people write differently, and the way the artwork works is, like, some authors have kind of like brighter colors, and there's some authors use a darker palette. But once I started to get more into comic books, probably once I started reading more, like, independent comic books like Image or Dark Horse, and when we go to Borders and be like, oh, there's other things besides Marvel and DC, that's when I started to be like, oh, like I mentioned, like, oh, it was Brian K. Vaughan. He wrote this. And then he wrote The Pride of Baghdad, which is a really interesting book. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like, oh, this guy writes some, like, oh, I like him. I like the way he writes his stories. And then it's like, oh, he did an Iron Man run. That was interesting, I believe. So it was like, oh, so that's when it became, okay, now I'm an author guy more than anything. So, like, now I was like, oh, Tom King writes something. I'm going to read it. Brian K. Vaughan something. I'm going to give it a try.
It's really cool to see too, man. Like, especially with these Image, like, independent books, like a lot of these, like, even like Jock, you know, just an illustrator. He's not a writer, but him doing stuff for Image, but then, like, knowing, oh, wait, he did this stuff with, like, DC, you know, with, like, his and I think him and Scott Snyder's Batman. I think when Dick Grayson took over the cowl, I forget, Batman something. Such a good book, man. But it's really cool to see their work, like, in the big mainstream companies like DC and Marvel, you know what I mean? Because you get to appreciate those stories a little more, because you're like, I know this person's real voice, and I know they're probably restricted when they're working for these companies, dude. But, like, yeah, they're maybe a bit limited, maybe, you know, all these contracts and stuff. But, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. No, sometimes it even works, like, in reverse for me. Like, Kyle Higgins is an author. I didn't, like, he used to write, like, the B story for Scott Snyder. on a lot of the Batman and Nightwing stuff, and then he did his own thing called like Batman: The Gates of Gotham, which is trying to like take like the history of Gotham like in like the 19 like the late like 1890s 1920 era. I think it's called The Gates of Gotham. I could double check that one. But like he has this but then like, oh, this guy's a great writer, and he's like kind of writing the B story. Mm. And then he did this series set in the Golden Age of like comic books set in Chicago called Cowl, COWL. It's about like what happens if superheroes were like unionized, and like were unionized workers like they were like part of the police force.
Yeah.
And that was a really interesting thought. Like, it still deals with the 60s and deals with like unionizations and like workforce rights and labor rights and like the idea of being a superhero. I was like, oh, this Kyle Higgins guy is like really, this is interesting to see him like outside of that like DC Batman Nightwing box. So it's like, I like it going like, even so, like it could work both ways where like, you could get into a guy based on the character. Then like when you see him branch out, you're like, oh, this dude really could flex his muscles and really. Yeah. Kind of be really creative and sus. So.
Okay, The Gates of Gotham, Batman. Yeah, I think we found it here. I'm thinking about Batman. What's the Mignola run, dude, back in the day? Mignola. I forget, man. Oh, my God. They just... I'm totally spacing. Oh, Mignola's... There you go. Yeah. Not the Doom that came to Gotham. There's another one.
Well, Josh, how do you feel? Do you go for the author first? Or you go like, okay, I'm a Venom guy, I'm gonna read Venom. I'm a Spider-Man guy, I'm gonna read Spider-Man. I'm a Thanos guy, I'm gonna read Thanos. How do you choose your comic books? I guess
I go characters, man. Nice. Complete characters. Like, I appreciate like the going towards authors. Mm-hmm. But I love how you could try to make your own story with the same person. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have like the general idea and like foundation of who this person is or what they're trying to do. And then you see how other people can try to tell the story. Like the same reason we have like 40 Batman movies. You know what I mean? Course, we're just trying to see how you can make your own story.
Different angles of the same diamond.
Yeah. And like I kind of really enjoy like, you know, like everybody pitching in for like a big story like that to kind of see how like, how does this guy approach, you know, Thor?
I like that. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just to see, because like, for example, like Venom, you have Kate's doing it now. And like you, Mikey talked about it before. It gives him more of like a human aspect versus like, we all know Venom as like a villain. You know what I mean? So it's like, what if you give him like personal features?
Yeah.
So just like stuff like that is how do you, like, how can you, you know, put Spider-Man in like different scenarios? And I'd see how he does as a, you know, as a person and as like a superhero. Like, I'd love that stuff, man.
Yeah, just the variety is great.
Just to be like, hey, you know, he's got to fight this guy. But like, how would you save this person? Or like how your motives change per story. You know what I mean? So I'll go characters completely. And like because like I don't know a lot of writers and stuff like that. But like
once you start going deep, man. Yeah, that'll happen.
Once you start like falling down because like I think. Yeah. Now is like I'm starting to get into Donnie Cates because like you and I talked about this off mic too. It's just like
Marvel's, you know, golden boy, man.
I read, you know, Absolute Carnage, and Mikey B was there when I, you know, kind of started that off too. And like this new Thor, man, there's just something about it that I really like. And I mean, if you want, I could just talk about that like briefly, man.
Do
but
it,
like, if you guys want to read
do it.
Too, but, nothing like, but good things about it so far.
But like,
so.
Okay, so Thor is in his end game. You know what I mean? He's the king of Asgard, and it's like he's bored, man. Like, it's like you're now just getting fat and you're going to die. So you get every opportunity to do something, you'll do it. But then it puts him in a position where Galactus needs him to help him save the world or whatever. And, you know, Galactus gives him his power, which it turns him into like a new Thor, like the King Devourer.
Interesting.
So Galactus
gives. I love the fact
that
they threw Galactus in it, dude. Come on.
Yeah, because they're trying to prevent the Black Winter. So the Black Winter is upon where it pretty much like, I guess it says that it destroys the universe. Mm. Like it's one of the two ways the universe starts over. And they're trying to prevent it. So he goes to ask Thor for help. So he gets Thor out of like his funk and like gives him this new power to help him fight the Black Winter. So Thor is put in a position to help Galactus, but Galactus is like pretty much dead. because they just ended up surviving like a battle with somebody else. And the Silver Surfer, which is the Silver Surfer Black,
yeah,
kind of talks about it a little bit.
Gates wrote that too, man.
Yeah, which
Silver Surfer Black, yeah,
which I want to read too. Yeah. So it's like
the art in it, man, is really crazy.
I like it, man.
Reminds me of Paul Pope, dude.
I feel it feels like a little like, not like retro, kind of the style of art, but it's more of like, it reminds me of like, very like, I forget the time frame of like artistic like paintings and stuff.
Royal
style.
Yeah.
So like, okay, so Thor gets his power and he has to help Galactus, but the problem is, Galactus needs to eat, right? So he has to destroy planets to help fight the Black Winter. So now Thor is going with him to do that.
He's got a very strict diet.
Yeah, Jesus right. Christ. No carbs, bro.
Planet devourer.
So Thor is with Galactus, and Galactus finds five planets that he has to eat up. But there's people living in there. So Thor can't do that because it's not the right thing to do. It's like, you can't kill all these people, but it's like, I need to prevent the end of the world. So Thor's like, fine, let me just get the people out of there. So you're kind of going through the story of like Galactus trying to eat and Thor trying to do the right thing until Beta Ray Bill shows up. Now, who's Thor's brother? Thor's brother shows up and he literally stands before Thor. He's like, I will fight you to stop helping Galactus. But it's going to bug me, dude. Hold on. His brother, I think it's Beta Ray Bill, fights Thor, and Thor almost kills him to help Galactus. And it's like, where do you stand now? It's like, you're fighting your own brother to help a villain.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is bigger than that. He's like, I know what I'm doing. It's like, you're insane.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
That sounds freaking dope.
Sif ends up coming down and like prevents him from killing his brother. So there's like, okay, fine, whatever. And he's like, I'm the king and no one tells me what to do. Because they're all pretty much under his oath anyway, because he's the ruler of Asgard. So they're like, all right, fine. If you know what you're doing and you're in the right mind, go for it, whatever. So Galactus makes it to the Black Winter and they like fight. But then you come to find out that Galactus was just using Thor in the wrong way. And the Black Winter, it shows, it pretty much like screws him over.
Yeah.
But then it shows Thor how he's going to die.
Okay.
So it's just like, okay, so Thor gets like in the mind of the Black Winter and sees all the villains he's killed. And he pretty much like has to refight them or whatever and sees the end of how he dies.
Okay.
And so he sees it. And I think the Thanos book leads into this too, because at the end of this volume one, you see Thor just like binging alcohol and he's like, the Silver Surfer's like, what's wrong? What's going on? He's like, I saw how I die. And then you go into that thought of how he dies or like what they show them.
Is this volume one?
It's just volume one.
Man.
And it's the picture of Thanos with the cover of his Thanos book with he's just like, everyone's dead around him. And that's pretty much what he sees.
Wow.
Okay. So it's like, okay, that's how he's going to die too. So it's just like, how do you, like, what do you do with that information? How you know you're going to die?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Puts him in a really morally compromising situation if you're not careful.
Yeah, because he was looking for something to be like worthy again.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I just showed you how you're going to die. And you're like, do I want to do that again? You know what I mean? So it's just like, fuck. And then like you go on to volume two. So it's just like, it's interesting to kind of start that off because it's okay, you find Thor in this like, this battle to be himself. But then at what cost? You learn how you die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, and that starts you off into the next thing too.
That's wild, man. Donnie Cates.
So it's a good story. And that's exactly what I was talking about. It's just like, it puts you in a position to be like, okay, Thor, like, okay, I get it. Like, he wants to do more. And like, he's a warrior, man. Like, he fights. It's like, now you put him in the power of leading people. And it's like, I don't want to do that. But then it's like, okay, you go back to fighting. At what cost? So it's like,
having to like help Galactus, man, you know, like
out of all people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that cover, dude, can you, it reminds me of, I forget who what's his name, dude? Romita. Yeah. Hey Matt, do you know Romita?
I do not.
What's his first name again? John Romita Jr.
Oh yes,
John Romita Jr. Man, that cover of Thor by Danny Cates, Volume One. Who did that cover? because it looks like John Romita Jr., man. I might be completely wrong, but a lot of people do not. I mean, I get teased because I actually like his art. But John Romita Jr. is pretty criticized.
There's just something about it.
Mm. It looks wild, man.
I don't know if this is the way to kind of describe it, but it looks tough, dude. Mm. Like, it just looks like there's a lot to it, and it's eerie.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just because, like, it's got a lot of dark colors. Thor, I mean, looks like he's possessed.
The crows on his sneak. I mean, that looks, yeah. Yeah, that looks great.
So, yeah, man, this was cool. Mm. And this was kind of like my back into Kate's, you know, actually reading it. Because, Mikey, you've told me about Venom. I read Carnage, which didn't end the way I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, I was kind of like iffy. And like, I knew he was doing Thor, and I just picked it up.
Because
I think you and I talked off mic about Donny Cates.
Yeah. He's done some independent stuff too.
Yeah. So now I wonder like where, if like the Thor, where this story goes next.
Because
There's, I think, two more volumes, because I think they're on 17 issues.
Oh, they're on the 17th?
Yeah. So They're on 17. So, but like
these
I said,
run for like, 50 something issues sometimes.
Yeah, his Venom's up there too, right? Michael, I think it's like into 50 or 40 or something like that. So
that's a good run, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I'm all for like characters, man.
Yeah. Come on, after this, you're going to have to read that Jason Aaron one, man.
Yeah, you got me that one.
Jason Aaron, bro, don't get me started on that guy too. Talking about even independent stuff, dude, the stuff with Image is just so good. Like, have you read Southern Bastards, Mikey?
I have not.
That's another book that he's done, man. Jason Aaron is, he is an incredible writer. But, yeah, he's done. I guess a new one he's doing, Sea of Stars. I did not even. But Southern Bastards, man, is amazing. The Goddamned was incredible. Yeah. And he's done some good stuff for Marvel, man.
Yeah, he has a pretty legendary Thor run. People are pretty high on.
Yeah, a legendary Thor run, man. Yeah.
So that would be to be continued when I get to it.
Yeah, man.
So, well, let's kind of like steer this in like another direction because we can go this way too. Is there one story right now that you know of? It doesn't matter like when, like the time frame is, that you want to read.
That I haven't read yet?
That you haven't read yet.
Hmm.
I can start.
Yeah,
I know which one exactly.
That'll be helpful. Yeah,
there's a Daredevil story that I want to read that I've heard nothing but good things about.
Mm.
So I'm trying to think of the name of it, but I don't know which one of you is more of the Daredevil fan.
Is it recent?
No, it's an older one. Man Without Fear. Does that sound familiar?
Frank Miller's run.
Yeah. I want to read that because I've heard it was great.
If you type in Frank Miller, it should probably show you. Because that's I think the first one's called The Man Without Fear.
I think it's called Man Without Fear. Or
Yeah, with Klaus Janson, man. Janson, I mean.
Which is funny because I'll tell you where I saw this. Like, it popped up on Reddit.
Mm.
So I was on Reddit one day, and for some reason, this guy decided to post on there, like, the trades he got for Christmas from his grandma or some shit. And then everybody was just raving about this Daredevil one. They're like, the Daredevil run is like, this is really good. Like, this is probably one of my favorite stories. And I have put it in like a backlog that I would love to read this just because, I mean, obviously everybody has their own opinions on things too. And we all know that, but like, this is a good amount of people that were like, this is awesome.
Well, there's a reason why, man. Like this book really is like, do you know anything about, The Man Without Fear by Frank Miller? Like, his Daredevil run. I think that's what it's called, man. I might be wrong. If you type in Daredevil, The Man Without, it might be another person.
This isn't the cover that I'm thinking of.
It's probably another run because I don't think it's Frank Miller's either. But, dude, Frank Miller's run.
It's the one where it's a black cover with, like, it looks like a stained glass picture.
Yep, Frank Miller. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you type in The Man, I think they just showed it, but.
I think it's this one. No, that's not it.
I know which one you're, that.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, Born Again, man.
I lied.
Who wrote this? I forget. Oh yeah, it's Frank Miller, dude.
So I lied. I'm and a huge Master liar.
Kelly, dude. Yeah.
I wonder if like this. The sharing screen would ruin the audio, Mikey. But I've got the Daredevil Born Again cover up.
Okay, I could do the same. See what it looks like.
Yeah, man. My brother got this a while ago, and they were obsessed with it. I never read it yet, but.
And the interesting thing about this is, like, I'm not the biggest Daredevil fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it makes it a little more interesting for me to read. Just because, like I said, like, everybody on Reddit could not say anything bad about it. And they're like, this is really good. And it puts Daredevil, I don't know if it makes him cool or not, but, like, definitely the one to read. So,
yeah, I mean, Frank Miller, dude, you can't go wrong with him, dude. Like, this book I've heard so much about, too. I've not read it yet because I wasn't a huge Daredevil fan. But
yeah, because he's kind of corny, though.
Kind of, yeah.
We're being honest. Like, that's why I haven't, like, really pursued him as a character, man. Just because, like,
some blind dude in a red
suit. Some blind dude throwing nunchucks. And, I mean, I personally would rather see a turtle throw nunchucks. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, for
catch
sure.
Catch me with the Ninja Turtles instead.
Yo, those
so.
IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle runs, too. Mikey, do you know anything about those, man? Those, like, collected editions?
I do not.
Nah, oh, my God. IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle run. Dude, their collected editions look beautiful. Beautiful. But even the story of, like, the origin story of them, like, it's, yeah.
There's a turtle run I did want to read. It came out pretty the last couple of years. It's, like, kind of darker. It's, like, Michelangelo is, like, the last Ninja Turtle.
Oh, cool.
That's the most recent one, isn't it?
Or pretty recent. Yeah, maybe it's, maybe. Yeah. That seemed interesting to me. That seemed like an interesting tale. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a different bent on that, on those characters.
Yeah. So what about you, man? Like, a book that you want to read. You mentioned Daredevil Born Again. Bro, Josh coming in here with these high standards, man. Like, these
books. That's the one thing about Josh, man. Like, Josh will go back into, like, comic books, like, that came out in, like, 1986, and, like, that's the one thing I really respect about Josh, is, like, Josh will read, like, old comic books, and I'll be like, no, I cannot read, I don't like the way the art look works. Oh. Like, so, like, if it hasn't come out within, like, if it's not, like, new, then, like, I'm okay, I'm past that. Like, yeah,
really?
Reading old Batman or Flash or Spider-Man is, like, I'll go back as probably as far as, like, 2000. So if it's before 2000, I'm gonna have to take a pass on it.
You're missing out on so much good stuff, man.
I know I'm missing out on a lot of good stuff. I was like, if it's like the
it's
past
like
is
so
the...
much, like before 2000, there's so much, dude. But you know what? I can relate to that though, because I was the same way, not just with comics, but even with film, dude. Like, I could not read or watch old stuff. I just thought it was corny. I didn't like it. Like, we have better looking stuff now. Why would I want to go back to that? You know, but. There's something about it, you know, like, just, I think the oldest, most recent book that I've read was, I don't know, man, it might have been, I can't even remember what book it was, but yeah, you're missing out on a lot, for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So, Mikey B, we can go next. Is there a story that you want to read or you're on your next to read?
Okay, yeah, because there's nothing like super like onto your level, like something from the past, but a series that we were talking about authors and such. So a series that I used to be super into was American Vampire by Scott Snyder. And they just like they kind of revised that, rebooted a bit,
yeah,
with
1976.
Yeah, so I'm like, super excited once that wraps up, be able to read that, because man, I was into American Vampire. Man, I thought that was the greatest comic book I've ever read in my life when I was on that, 2-3-4 year journey. Man, I thought that was incredible.
Rafael Albuquerque, man. Like, he's an amazing artist, too. Like, I read the first two volumes, and I just couldn't, like, I don't know. I was just reading so much at the time, too. But I love that they're bringing it back now, you know, with the same team. You know, Snyder and Albuquerque doing 1976. But even within, like, the American Vampire was good because, like, Stephen King, dude, would, like,
he did the first volume,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
That's dope.
Dude, the first volume was great. Yeah.
Do you read his son? Like, when it, like, his, what's his son's
name? Oh, Joe Hill?
Joe Hill, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man, I love Joe Hill. Yeah, I mean, I haven't read much yet, but I respect what's going on with his stuff, especially with DC.
His Hill, yeah, his little, like, label, Hill House.
Yeah, dude, it looks really good. Lock and Key, you know.
Lock and Key is incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet, but yeah, there's still so much.
Yeah.
There's still so much I want to read and have to read.
Yeah. Which is a perfect segue.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
Man, wow. Yeah, there's so much. But if it's going to be one book that I really, 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 really want to read, man, or like it's on the come up.
Starboy. Weekend.
No, not even a chance, bro. Like, I'm, yeah, wow. This is a hard question, man. Because it's not necessarily like a comic book. It's manga.
Mm.
So I just recently started getting into it. I'm falling deep into the world of manga and anime, slowly but surely. But there's this book, man. So I'm reading one right now called Uzumaki by Junji Ito. There's a book that's called No Longer Human that I haven't read yet. But that's definitely the next book I'm reading, because Uzumaki right now is just a wild, wild ride. I'm really into horror. So my brother, my plug when it comes to comic books.
Shout out,
Israel. We're all into them, dude. All three of us, man. Like Christopher and like, we're like just into like the same kind of stuff, like the same books and stuff. But, he gave me the Uzumaki book and then he gave me the No Longer Human book. But, yeah, it's a wild book, man. And I just really like the art in it too. It's, you have to adjust a little bit because you go through them much quicker. And yeah, that's like the, what is that? No Longer Human paperback by Osam. That's the actual novel. Yeah. So I think it's the manga, but yeah, that's the next one I want to read. No Longer Human, the Junji Ito manga adaptation of it. So, yeah,
nice, dude.
And comic books, maybe a comic book though for sure. There's this book called Top 10 by Alan Moore that I've had forever. I just have not gotten to reading it yet, just because I'm already reading From Hell by Alan Moore because I just got the master edition. They re-released it in color. And it's such a beautiful book. So like the thing about Alan Moore, he's just so dreary and just so dark, and it can actually like depress you a bit sometimes, man. And From Hell is just a dialogue heavy book. But Top 10 has been something that I've been wanting to read for a while by Alan Moore, for sure.
Well, yeah. It's funny that you say that, because joining the chat. Ah, just kidding.
What? We got a.
No.
We got Alan Moore on the line.
We got Alan Moore. Yeah.
Say, what's up, David?
We got the most exclusive, one of the most like reclusive comic book writers, artists of all of our time is now on this.
Yeah, dude.
That could be the new goal, man. Instead of E3, dude, can we get Alan Moore on this podcast?
Yeah. Who knows? He's not even writing comics anymore, dude. He's like just novels, and like he's got this new movie coming out. But I'm just a huge fan of Moore. And I was even going to mention earlier, Mikey, I'm noticing like the books that you're picking and that you really like to see like superheroes being humanized and,
yes,
you know, like taken into this dark real world that we live in. Alan Moore's your guy for sure. Like, especially like his superhero stuff, like Top 10, he did this, Miracle Man, but by Marvel. Mm-hmm. Run back in the 80s, and dude, Marvel won't even put his name on the book. That's how controversial that book is.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you open it up, it's like it won't even tell you the name. But Miracle Man by Alan Moore, it's also a superhero. He deconstructs them like crazy. And
true.
It's dark stuff. But
is it Marvel Man?
No, it's Miracle Man. Yeah, you got it. That's the one. Yeah, A Dream of Flying. That's the first volume. Yeah, that's good stuff. But yeah, if I was going to recommend something you like that humanizes like superheroes like this, it's old though. So what year was it? 19 what?
2002.
Is it 2002?
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right there, man.
It made the cut.
It made the cut, man. Think, yeah.
There are exceptions. There are exceptions. Like obviously I've read Watchmen.
For sure. Yeah.
So there are like some exceptions, but yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely a newer guy. Yeah, but.
Have you read his Swamp Thing run?
I might have, yes, because there is, yeah, I think I might have read a few Swamp Things. I was into Swamp. There was a run by Was that a Scott? Did Scott Snyder do Swamp Thing?
Yeah, he did. He wrote it during the New 52.
Yeah. So yeah, once I got into Swamp Thing with Scott Snyder, then I think I might have tried to go back and read, like, Brian K. Vaughan did a Swamp Thing run and I gave a go.
Yeah.
And then I might have, so it could have been like part of one of those collections. I might have read a little Elmore in there.
That's another book, man, that I could just keep reading. Just the whole series, the Swamp Thing series by Alan Moore. It's just something I just always reread. It never gets old. Just, it's a horror book, man. It's, it's sci-fi in it. It gets deep into like spiritual stuff, supernatural stuff. It's awesome. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that you actually enjoyed some of his older stuff. Cause yeah, Alan Moore is a old head for sure. Yeah, but I love the way he deconstructs these superheroes, man. Humanizes the crap out of them and throws them into this dark, dark situation.
So you're going to put Superman at the restaurant and the credit cards decline and see what he does for real. Or it's, you know, it's like, you know, Spider-Man's dealing with, like, identity theft. You know what I mean? Like, real world shit.
Speaking of comic book artists, now that writers, and we're talking about Swamp Thing, because I think when I was thinking of Swamp Thing, like, coincide with that was the Animal Man return with Jeff Lemire. Did you ever get into that?
Yes.
Yes, because there was like that coat, like that. There was a crossover event with Animal Man and Swamp Thing during where it was like Rot World.
Yeah,
where,
the like, green, the red, the rot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Another great writer that used to get into. Jeff Lemire has done
Jeff Lemire has done
so much great stuff. Sweet Tooth, Nobody. Yeah, Sweet Tooth is an awesome. It's a cool series.
Yeah, there's gonna be an animated show on Netflix.
Nice. Sweet Tooth. If you like '90s like rock music, Royal City was a good one.
Royal City was awesome, man. Yeah, yep. That's one of his most recent stuff with Image. Mm-hmm. This Black Hammer run with Dark Horse, like.
Mm-hmm,
my
mm-hmm.
goodness.
Yes.
That was one of the books that I was really looking forward to. And at the time, I had a friend. I was living in California. And I couldn't make it to the comic book shop. And I was like, I made her like, hey, I need you to go to this comic book shop and ask them if they have volume one of Black Hammer by Jeff Lemire. And I'm like, okay. And they had it, dude. It was in Sacramento. I was like an hour away north in Redding. Like, there's no comic book shops down up in Redding. Now there is for sure. But
this one,
yeah, man,
$278.
Yeah, this collected, man. It's crazy to see that price, man. This is one of the titles from Lemire that's gonna be like, this is like his memento, bro.
No,
like,
shit.
Yeah, this is. Have you read Black Hammer, Mikey?
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
I like to. I like the start of it, and then it got super weird, and then I had to kind of bounce a bit.
Yeah, it starts like going into the characters independently and like
when it got into like other when it got back into space and other pretty much once they figure out that I can't remember her name, but she's like the warlock lady, like witch lady, kind of was the one that was creating this universe that they were trapped in.
Yeah.
And once Black Hammer's like daughter kind of figure it out, and then like they try to get to the solution. That's when I was like, okay, we're moving away from like what I liked about Black Hammer, which was like.
So pretty much like, volumes 1-4 are the ones that are like amazing, yeah. Because after that, they start going into the other stuff.
Yeah, so that's when I kind of bounced it. But I did love the beginning of like these 50 heroes kind of like trapped in this like small town USA dealing with everyday life. Mm. Like, why are they trapped? How did it happen? Like the mystery box element of it. But once the mystery was solved, I'm like, and then they got that. Then it got a little bit too out there for me. So I kind of had a...
Yeah.
I read them just to see how it ended, but I wasn't like, it was like, okay, I getcha. I'm going to, you kind of, botched the ending a bit in my thoughts, but it was just, it's still a good comic book series overall.
Yeah. I started getting into Lemire, and I think when this was announced and the volume was coming out, the first trade, I was like, there's something about the cover. I was waiting on it for a while. And, this was the cover they used for volume one. Yeah. I think there was something about that cover. I was like, what is this book? But yeah, Jeff Lemire, dude, that's another great writer for sure. That's one writer to get into all of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's this book called Roughback or Roughneck, I think, independent stuff, his own company. I think it's like the first book he released called Roughneck. But yeah, and dude, talk about like, I cried in this, bro. Like, I did, dude. I got emotional reading Roughneck. Like, there's so much heart in it. Like, And he writes and illustrates, and like, and it's all with paint. He's painting, you know. So
damn.
Yeah, man, he does an amazing job. He does really cartoonish looking characters, as you can see, you know. But there's something about Lemire. So if you open any of those, like, you know, all that right there.
Which I think also gives it a nice touch, man. You know, because if you're really talking about like some like deep shit, like heavy shit, it also kind of like, all right, like this guy's got, you know, eyes the size of like people's feet. You know what I mean? It's like okay, like it's all right, but yeah, still, yeah, like it's heavy shit.
But like throughout the whole book, man, it's blue and black. Those are the only color he uses is blue. Like sometimes you have a pop of like other stuff, but man, yeah, like that's like, I love that picture. Like, pretty much all this stuff right there. Essex County, dude. Yeah, Sweet Tooth. That's all. Underwater Welder.
That's another good one. I remember
Trillium. I read that. That was crazy. His Green Arrow run was crazy.
Old Man Logan.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He also did Moon Knight, dude. That the series I was talking about.
Oh yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, three volumes, I think. That's what he did.
Is with Marvel? Did he do the same kind of style? Like that, or did he have somebody else?
No, it's a different somebody else did it. Artist that does it. He's just writing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the, like, Animal Man, which is awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
That book was insane. That first volume was insane. Insane.
Sweet, man.
Yeah.
Well, David, really, really appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us, man, and just talking about your love for comics,
dude. Yeah,
we can
do this for hours.
Hey, man, like I said, I was kind of prepared for it, and like I was just like, okay, let's make some time so we can just hang out and let the conversation take itself. But I think for editing purposes, I got to find myself a nice little exit. So, but dude, again, man, huge thank you, and you know, you're obviously welcome to.
Dude,
come
thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. Come back anytime.
Thank
yeah,
you
if you want to be, you know, if you want to join this too, man, by all means,
hey,
dude.
Man.
Like, by all means, man. Hey. Offer is always out, extended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come
100%.
You want,
dude,
to.
Dude, this is fun, man. Honestly, I really, really enjoyed it, man. I really.
It was what I liked too, man. Is just like, you know, we all kind of just started to like talk about where we started, and then it all just happened like naturally, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're able to like find, you know, your artists, your illustrator, your authors, and you kind of just, the conversation just goes,
yeah,
which is awesome. So hopefully, like, maybe down the road we all find, maybe I find something to read from Image that like we can all talk about, you know.
Dude, for sure, man. Like, and it's, I love how like all of, we can get so deep, man, but it all started the way, I mean, how we all shared like our little origin stories, like it all started with like one book,
yeah,
you know? And to see that we can just, I mean, at least for me, man, comics have always been something that just, I kind of escape to, man. It's a safe place for me, man, and I love it. You know, I can just, goodbye world, you know, for
yeah,
a few hours.
Which is interesting, know? That you say that too, man, which is probably the reason why I think I've talked to you or Michael about this, where like, I like the idea of a comic just being like not real too. You know what
I
mean?
Man.
It's like, if I, people flying, like people got spider senses, like keep it. Like, keep the imagination going.
Alive.
Yeah, because, like, I, not that I don't want to read, like, because I'm sure the stories are, you know, perfect.
Mm.
But, like, I don't want to be, like, I have to, like, cut the grass. That's like a, then, like, something happens that I have to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's part of the story. Like, it's too real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's, like, if I can't, you know, use a flamethrower or something. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
It has to be, like, using my imagination and really, like, kind of making these things come to life.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of... Probably the reason why I don't jump over.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is that even in these bizarre worlds that we fall into, like, there's still, like, so much that you can, like, learn from, dude. Like, these writers do a good... I mean, kudos to these guys, man. Hats off to these writers, because not only are they entertaining us, but they're showing us a whole other perspective of how people might think of certain things. And it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. Reading does something to you, you know, man. I don't know. I think it helps you, like, social cues with everything. There's so many benefits to reading, but for me, it's just escape, you know.
True, and we're about to push escape on this episode.
Yes, sir.
Well, again, this is the, I think the final title of this is, like, the panel crossover, so.
Nice.
This has been an episode of the panel crossover, and I was joined with Mikey B.
Hey there. See ya.
Say, hey there, see ya. And again, special thanks to the homie David for coming through and
thank you again, man.
This shedding some fun. Knowledge, man.
Hell yeah.
The Council Boys are out. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Gaming Council Podcast. Now, if you're not with us on the social game, you're really missing out. On Instagram, follow us at the Gaming Council Podcast. Facebook is the Gaming Council Podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're the Council Boys on Twitter, so hit us up, tweet us. Everything podcast-related, episode-wise, go to gamingcouncilpod.com.
The Council Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling life.
Council Boys are out.